Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead. Amen. You know, this week, I get excited about this week when I start thinking about Easter Sunday. I enjoy Resurrection Sunday. And you know, I remember reading John G. Lake. He says the majority of Christians are still bowing before the Christ that was, not the Christ that is. And as I thought about that this week, I think it was about Thursday, it just overwhelmed me what he paid for me to be able to enjoy next week. You know, so much of the time, and John G. Lake said, I'm not as interested in the Christ that was as I am the Christ that is. And my heart just began to break because I realized that we talk about the three exchanges around here that Christ made. But the greatest exchange that we have is he was one with the Father in heaven. The Father thought it, Jesus created it. Spoke it, and the Holy Spirit created it. He was as God in heaven. He chose to exchange his place up there for his suffering down here. And I just couldn't handle it. And you know, I want to start out by reading what he went through that Sunday. This Friday is when it was. And we're going to have a glorious time of resurrection. That's our identity. But saints, we can never forget. And I want you to understand something. What he went through here, he didn't go through it for himself. He went through it for us. When we hung on the cross, he hung on the cross. He did it for us. When he went to the grave, we went to the grave. When he ascended, we ascended. When he was seated, we're seated. But the thing is, you got to understand, Jesus says, he that taketh not up his cross and followeth me. He that taketh not up his cross is not worthy of me. I want you to understand something, saints. I believe the problem with the church today is we don't understand what Jesus did for us when he said it's finished. Because you cannot have a legitimate resurrection until you have a legitimate death. You have to be dead before you can be resurrected. And what Jesus did for us in our death, he did it for us so we could be raised with him. And the suffering he went through was for us. And I don't want us to forget that. And I think we can get so caught up in our identity and the resurrection, we forget what price he paid. But there's a whole world out there concentrating on the price he paid and never enter into their identity. You know, we've been working on identity for a good while. But I don't want us to forget what that identity cost him. You know, he became as man. He took upon himself the seed of Abraham. Permanently, he'll always be in this body he chose to take for us. Amen? And we got to understand that what he did for us, he did so we could be. You know, we talk about all the exchanges. You know, we got all these exchanges that he took for us. But you know, I got the greatest exchange. I was going to start reading this in Matthew 27. But before I do, I want to turn to Philippians chapter 2. I was going to go on with what I started on the heart, but I just couldn't do it. We got to recognize what he paid for. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there therefore is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy that you may be like-minded. What does that mean? Like-minded is of the same mind. Having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How many of you know we have the mind of Christ? All we have to do is loose that mind that we already have. Let it be. Don't let this mind be on you. Let it be on him. Look what he did. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Being, and but made of himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. Here, as God, he came and took upon himself the form of a servant. Did you catch that? That's about as far as you can get in an exchange. And he says, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Because of that, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every knee will bow, and the things in heaven, the things in earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's four exchanges. The greatest exchange is what he paid for first, so we could have all the exchanges we have in the exchange line. Matthew 27. Okay. Let me just... we'll just read the whole thing. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver. He repented and brought it back, saying, I have sinned and I have betrayed innocent blood. They said, what's that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took silver pieces and said, it's not lawful to put them into the treasury because of the price of blood. And they took counsel together and brought them to buy the potter's field to bury the strangers in. Wherefore, the field is called the field of blood unto this day. And if you want to read that, it's back in Zechariah 11, 12, and 13 is where that's prophesied. Wherefore, that field is called the field of blood to this day. Thus was filled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they, the children of Israel, did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you king of the Jews? Jesus said, you say it, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hear thou not how many things they say to witness against you? And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled. Now at the feast of the governor was what? To release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then been a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said, whether of the two will you that I release to you, Barabbas? Pilate said to them, what shall I do with Jesus, whom you call Christ? They said, let him be crucified. And the governor said, what evil has he done? But they cried the more, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail, but rather a turmoil was made, he took water. He washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See to it yourselves, is what he was saying. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers, the governors, took Jesus into the common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. They spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. This is the one that was as God. You understand what I'm saying? He did that for us. He took this for us. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put his own raiment back on him and led him away to be crucified. And they came out and they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lot, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them and poured my vesture. For my vesture they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him and set over his head accusations written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou art him that destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days. If you be the Son, come down." Likewise, the chief priests mocking him and the scribes and the elders. And he saved others himself cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we'll believe in him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." And it says here, the two thieves also crucified with him cast the same. But we know one of them said, "We have a reason to be hung, but he doesn't be here crucified," but he doesn't. And he said, "Remember me this day," one of them. And he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." From the sixth hour there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" You know, people talk all the time about that God didn't forsake Jesus. Well, I don't think he did either, but I want you to know one thing. He felt forsaken because he took the same emotions every one of us have. He felt it. Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said he called for Elijah. Straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge filled with vinegar and put it in a reed to give him drink. And the rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him. Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent from twain from top to bottom. That's next week. And it also says the graves of many were opened, but it also says they came out of the graves after the resurrection, all these people come out. You got to keep that in mind. That didn't happen until after the resurrection. So we see what he did. Now I want us to turn to Isaiah 53. Saints, I just tell you what I'm really feeling. We talk so much about how hard it is for us to receive all that we got from the resurrection. I believe the problem today with the church is we can have all the life that's in the resurrection, but there has to be a death to self to get it. We're trying to have the best of both worlds in the church today. But you know, that's what Jesus was trying to say. If you love your father more than me, your mother more than me, your wife, your children, you're not worthy of me. And that's why Jesus was trying to tell them, you got to give up your life if you're going to find it. He that saveth his soul, that's suke, will lose it. But if you'll lose your soul, you'll find it. You'll have a new one. And so we see that I believe 99% of our problems would be gone if we learn to reckon ourselves to be dead, but also to reckon yourselves to be alive. Because as he is, so are we now in this world. And you know, he paid an awesome price. And as you look at that, I may be missing it somewhere, but I'm telling you, there has to be an end of one thing for a beginning of a new. Yeah. Isaiah 52. I'm going to go to 52. I'm going to start in verse 13. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man." He didn't even look like a man when they got through with him. "His form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouth at him. For that which had not had been told them, they shall see that which hath they have not learned, heard, shall consider. I got a big hole in my Bible right there, so sorry. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he will grow up before him as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. There's no form nor comeliness. And when you see him, there's no beauty that you would desire him. He's despised, rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with griefs, pains, diseases. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not, didn't consider him. That word esteemed, we just didn't consider him. See, I think this is a week to consider him. Next week's the time to rejoice in your identity. But for a while, we need to consider him. When it says on that front of that, this do in remembrance of me, every time we take communion, you know, why are we taking it? Because he took all of our sins, our diseases, our sicknesses. He took everything that we can be a partaker of what he did for me. And I was thinking about, you know, what he said to me in Albuquerque. When we went to a healing meeting, like most of us got sick that went to the healing meeting. We're trying to get a handle on healing. He says, healing is good. I paid for that. He did. That's what we're talking about. But he says, health is much better. In the resurrection, you get health. At the cross, you get healing. But at the resurrection, you get health.
Yes. Amen. That's a word, Norman.
That's a word.
Yes.
So why do we want to continue dealing with just being healed when he paid for divine health? I got goosebumps. Woo-hoo, I don't know if you can see that, but my hair is standing straight up. But that's what I'm talking about. That's the resurrection side. But the only reason we have the resurrection side is because he paid the price for the rest of it. It's awesome. Consider him. Surely he hath borne whose sorrows? That's griefs. Our sicknesses. Carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed, afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is done, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Why? For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence. Ooh. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. God. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. How can we read that? It pleased God to crush him. He hath put him to grief, made him sick. Why? He had made his soul an offering for our sins. He had made his what? An offering for our sins. Oh, I can't even see now. Whew. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? He paid an awesome price of exchange for us to have the exchange. And I thank God for it, but lest we never forget it. Okay. It pleased the Lord to bruise him or crush him. It put him, made him sick. This is the Hebrew there. When God shall make his soul an offering for sin, God shall see his seed, say, that's me, and prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand, and God will see the travail of his soul. God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Three times, if it be possible, let this pass. I cannot, in my wildest imagination, when Jesus, in the garden, took the pains and the suffering of every soul that was, is, and will be, all the junk that they went through, he took upon himself right there. He took ours so we could have his, that exchange. I can understand why he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Because he, do you know what Jesus died of? Broken heart. His heart ruptured. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he will bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his what? Soul into death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And it says, next, seeing, O barren, what is he talking about? A woman that has no children. Seeing, thou that did not break forth into singing, cry, thou that did not travail with child. For more shall be the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Can you imagine what it's like to be desolate? In those days, it was a curse for you to not have children. And he goes on. Now he starts talking about what he paid for so they could have. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare, lengthen the cords. Strengthen the stakes. For you will break out on the right hand and the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make desolate cities inhabited. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. You know, the day after God healed my soul, he showed me this verse, and he said, fear not, you will not be ashamed. You will forget the shame of your youth, and you'll not remember that reproach anymore. That's the promise of all that stuff in your soul. Woo! Widowhood. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Redeemer. You know, Isaiah 53, Christ became the Redeemer. He paid, that means one that paid the price to buy you back. For the Lord hath called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of a youth when you was refused, saith God. For a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I cover you and gather you. One day we was talking about this. And when Jesus called his disciples, he said, you remember when I sent you out? Did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. He said, but now, if you got two cloaks, you better buy you a sword. Because I'm just about now going to be at the place where I can't protect you anymore. I'm going to have to forsake you for 3 days. You're on your own. For a small moment have I forsaken you. But with great mercies will I gather you. Just those 3 days, he said, I can't do anything. In a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, how long is that? Will I have mercy upon you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. For this is the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn, the waters of Noah will no more cover the earth. So have I sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. I'm putting it in, well, you can understand it. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord God that hath mercy on you. O thou afflicted, tossed with the tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with fair colors, your foundations with sapphires. And I will make your windows of agates and the gates of carbuncles, and all your borders shall be pleasant stones. Now catch this promise. and all your children shall be taught by the Lord. That's what that says. By the Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness they will be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror it will not come near you. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for your sake. I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire and brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment against you we will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the water. And he that hath no money, come buy, eat, and drink without money and without price. Why? It's free. That's what he paid for. Now next week, I've got four pages here. I knew this would happen. But I'd rather you hear from the Word of God what happened and what he paid for. Now, next week, it'll be shouting time. But I'm telling you, it won't hurt this week if you could just spend a little time this week saying, thank you, Jesus. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. I hope you never think about the three frames of exchange without thinking the greatest frame that's one that made you be able to be a partaker of the three frames. Yeah. Well, now, let's stand. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, and he has. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and is gracious to you. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon you and has given you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.